If you'll get your Bible out and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18, 2 Samuel 18, before, and once you find it, just put your finger in there. I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll go to the scripture and we'll read it. I want to give you a thought about something tonight, and I think it's the kind of thing that I wish we would all develop in our life. And I think if you would develop this type thinking in your life will be richer. I think you'll find a lot of fulfillment in it. And I think it's the way that God would have us to think. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment. It's a funny thing. It seems as if the human race, and maybe even we as Christians, we have to sometimes lose something that is precious to us or valuable to us or important to us for us to appreciate it. I got to thinking about electricity. As you all know, of course, all over our county, there is a power outage, and there has been. The electricity's been off for hours. It's a funny thing. You enjoy the electricity, and you have it, and you don't think a thing about it, and then suddenly you lose it. And if you're smart, you're going to appreciate it when it comes back on. But isn't it amazing about so many things in life? It's that way. Sometimes we tend to, we don't appreciate things until we lose them, and then we regain an appreciation or gain an appreciation that we should have had in the first place. We don't have any heat in the building right now. The only heat you have right here in this auditorium is everybody's breath. And you can feel that warmth and smell it and see it in a couple of cases. But you know, when you go through life and you get to enjoy the warmth of your heater or the heat, and it's a wonderful thing. But when you lose it, you suddenly say, "Wow, I want that back." And then there is an appreciation, and either it's you begin to reappreciate it, or you appreciate it for the first time when you get it back. I'll tell you this also: water can be the same way. You know, we're so blessed; we have all the water that we need. We get to drink water. You can go to the faucet and get water, and you've got it. You've got it available. But I'll tell you something: if you lose water and you don't have access to water, and we've been through that. You know, when you go through a hurricane and things begin to shut down, when you lose water, it gets pretty critical pretty quick. But then, when you regain that water, you again appreciate it, or you develop an appreciation for it. I'm going to tell you, my grandmother, she had a disease, and now she's in heaven, and she passed away many years ago. She had a disease in her mouth. I don't know if you've ever heard of a thing called pyorrhea of the gums. And it is where bacteria and things have gone to work on the gums and things. And my grandmother, as she grew older, her teeth fell out. I mean, they just virtually rotted right out of her head. I remember, it was about a year or year and a half prior to her passing away. I was visiting her, and she had one tooth left in her mouth. And I remember how she had complained and complained and complained about her teeth when she was younger. And then the day came when that last tooth fell out. Can I tell you? The teeth that she had complained about for years were then all gone. And I'll never forget her saying, "I wish I had my crummy teeth back." And loss brought appreciation. I have a friend, and I hadn't thought about this in a long time. He was embarrassed of his legs. His knees were knobby and skinny, and he said, and his wife vouched for him. He said, "I must have some of the ugliest legs you've ever seen." He used to tell me, he said, "I've got bird legs. I look like a bird." And he said, "My legs are ugly." And He was in an accident. And he lost use of both of his legs. And then afterwards, he said, I'd give anything if I could use my bird legs again. Now, I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 18. Go to verse number 29. Stand with me real quickly. We're going to read the scripture. 2 Samuel 18, verse number 29. The Bible says this. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all thine them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee do thee hurt be as the young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let me pray. Father, take the simple lesson tonight and help us to get a lot of mileage out of it. Things are a little different here at our church. There's no electricity. We function off of lanterns and what power the generator is producing in this massive building. But God, even though it's a unique evening, I think you could do something supernatural. I pray that you will, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me real quickly tell you about the story that we just read. This text is the end of the story from the Bible about King David and his son named Absalom. Absalom was David's third son. Absalom was known to be a handsome young man, a winsome young man, had a full head of hair, and I mean a lot of hair. Absalom had, but Absalom really didn't get along with his dad well. Absalom had actually arranged the murder of David's oldest son, Amnon. And Absalom had plotted to take over his own father's kingdom. So now you see, you've got David the dad and Absalom the son, and things are not going well. And Absalom, though, was very, very winsome. He had a lot of charisma. He had a lot of personality. And he had created within David's kingdom a group of people that were now being loyal to Absalom, being opposed to being loyal to their king David, and a battle breaks out, and David ended up needing to flee his own capital city. Remember, David was the king. His son has caused some people to rise up against him, and David is leaving his own city because Absalom's warriors are out to kill David. A battle finally comes between David's soldiers and Absalom's soldiers. And what happens, to make a long story short, is Absalom is riding his horse, and his hair is extremely long, and somehow his hair is flowing in the wind, and it gets caught in a tree. And when it gets caught in that tree, his horse rides out from underneath him. He's hanging in that tree, and Joab takes out three darts, it'd be like spears, and Joab throws those three darts into the body of Absalom, and Absalom dies. Now, when the scripture that we were reading there, what happened is David was asking Cushai, he said, and that's one of David's assistants. David said to Cushai, he said, look, I know the battle's been going on, but Cushai, can you tell me, is my son Absalom alive? And Cushai begins to tell the story, and what eventually happens is David inquires enough, and Cushai finally says, we have destroyed your enemy, and your son is dead, just like the others that had turned on you. This broke David's heart. And let me read to you what David said. He said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." Now, Absalom had been disloyal to his dad. He had attacked his dad. He was trying to hurt his dad. And now in the battle, Absalom gets slain. But when the word gets back to David, his daddy's heart is broken. And Daddy David, he said, "Would to God I had died for thee." You say, what's the point here? The point is this. David is looking at that relationship and he is saying, "I really wish I would have done more to salvage that relationship before I lost that relationship. Because now his son's dead." So, it's a little bit like the electricity. You have it. You lose it. At some point, you're going to wish you had it again. But that lack of appreciation, that lack of concern prior to the loss, that really is, whether we understand or not, that's weakness on our part. You may be jubilant later on tonight when the electricity comes back on. You might say, "Yeah, sure, amen," and you'll be all excited. Truth of the matter is, we probably should have woke up this morning and thanked God for the electricity that we had this morning. But the human race tends to need to lose something before we appreciate that something. I'm just going to apply this in a couple of areas of life, if I may. I think you and I, we had better thank God for America before we lose her. People complain about America all the time, but just so you know, this is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'd hate to see us have to lose our country to understand how much we ought to appreciate our country. There are all those that are trying to come into our country. As you know, there are people that are trying to get into America from coming through Mexico and everything. Do you know why so many people want to come here? Because they all know how wonderful our country is. Could I say to everybody in here that's an American citizen, you better appreciate your country now. And I hope that America does not have to be lost to communism or socialism for us to realize what we had. If we're not careful, our country will go down the tubes while we just take advantage of everything she has to offer but don't really appreciate what she is. But I will promise you that if America falls to the wicked cultures that are available, we will look back someday like David did and say, "America, America, would God I had died for thee." Husbands and wives, can I recommend something to you? You might want to love each other and treat each other right before you lose your husband or wife. You know, I don't think I've ever stood at the graveside of a man or a woman who said, "I loved him too much," or "I loved her too much." When you're at the graveside with someone who has just lost their husband or lost their wife, they always would like to believe that they had given their best to that relationship and they had loved that person and treated that person right. But you just don't find someone that says, "Well, I love my husband too much, and I wasted part of my life loving my husband, and now he's gone." They don't think that way. And I would just like to recommend that if you're married, that you love your mate. Do you have to lose your mate to understand how you're to love your mate? Do you have to lose your husband to understand how you should love your husband? Do you have to lose your wife to understand how you ought to love your wife? I wonder if there are not those that maybe not use these words exactly, but they would say, wife, would God I had died for thee. That remorse was David looking at something that he had and now regretting that he no longer had it. And boy, I realize in the marriage relationship that you can wear on one another, and husbands can get frustrated with wives and wives can get frustrated with husbands. But let me tell you something. It's a part of life. And I think that every one of us ought to be the best husband we can to our wife and the best wife that we can to a husband, so that someday we don't look back and say, would God I had put more in to that relationship. I think that's true about America. I think it's true about husbands and wives. And might I say, parents, make sure you put the energy that you need to into your relationship with your children. In this story, it's the story about David and Absalom. Now David's boy is dead and he's hung by his hair and had three spears pierce his body. But David's saying, I wish I would have put more into that relationship right there with Absalom. That's the actual truth that's being taught in 2 Samuel 18. David says, Absalom, Absalom, my son. And you can hear the remorse in the way he said it. Did you hear those words? Verse 33, it says, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son, my son. Can you picture his face is in his hands? And he goes on, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. Listen, parents, put the energy into those children. Love those children. Be good to those children. Grow those children. I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen. Those of you that have children still living at home, they will grow up and they will leave home someday. And you may say someday, I wish I would have got a little more time with my son or a little more time with my daughter. I wish I would have worked a little harder at this thing. Oh, it's not just that they grow up and move away. Children can pass away too. I just hate for us to find ourselves in that state that David did, looking back and saying, would to God I would have done this. But David knew. He knew. I think David felt like there was a little something more he could have done with that relationship with Absalom, and he is now facing remorse. Let me go on. I think the same thing could be true about your health. Your health. I would recommend that you love your health and take care of your health before you lose your health. If I were you, I would appreciate your eyes while you have your eyes. Because if you lose your eyes, you will realize how precious eyesight is. You will realize how valuable your eyes are. But I think sometimes, I hope you see the whole concept of the thing. There's so many things that we have available to us, and there are so many things that could be a blessing to us and us to them. But we get to traveling along in life, and we almost assume their presence and assume their blessing, and we don't find ourselves on purpose thankful and grateful for those things. And you'll be sorry if you don't learn to love and appreciate your health, your hearing. It's easy if you are a hearing person. If you can hear, you don't think anything about it. It doesn't bother you that all day long, every day, you hear. But let me tell you something. If you lose the ability to hear, you'll probably look back and say, I wish I would have listened a little better when I had a chance. I wish I would have appreciated my hearing when I had a chance. Your voice, the fact that you can speak. I would say you ought to be glad that you can speak and be glad that you can hear and be glad that you can see. I met a man one time that could not taste his food. He said, there's something in my tongue and the taste buds. None of them react to the taste of food. He said, when I eat, I look at it. He said, but I have lost that ability. I'll tell you what. To me, that may be the most tragic one of them all. You ever scorch your tongue real, real bad? And boy, you just don't want to do that right before Thanksgiving or right before Christmas, because then you can't taste the food. But might I say to you, in regard to our health, folks, maybe it'd be a good idea if we appreciated it and that we took the time to examine what we have and we put ourselves into it. Look, if you sat here today, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but let me tell you, if you sat here today and you do not have cancer in your body, could I tell you something? It might be a good idea for you to say, I don't have cancer. Because if it comes into your body, you may look back and say, I wish I would have appreciated the healthy days more. I think I should have appreciated the good days more. So what I learned when I thought about the electricity going off today, I thought that all those conveniences that are attached to it, we have to lose them to appreciate having them. You look at the flashing lights, and you know, you go out there to the corner and you see the stoplight. You've got the yellow light, and you've got the green light, and you've got the red light, and usually you're just mad at them. Because you want the green, and you're irritated with it. Now, if you drove out there on the roads this evening, you'd say, I wish we had those lights back. Yes, sir. So, I think the same is true if we're not careful about America. I think the same would be true if we're not careful about our spouse and our children. I think the same could be true about our health. I think the same can be true about your church if you're not careful. When someone has the privilege of going to a church that seems to be doing the right thing and seems to have the right spirit and seems to have the blessing of God on it, be careful now if you assume that's always going to be there and you don't attend to what even, you, maybe you're doing your part to keep it like it is or appreciate it. I tell you what can happen. I've watched great churches lose it. They lost the revival and they lost that spirit and they lost that goodness. And then I am just positive that someone somewhere down the way said, maybe I should have appreciated what I had more when I had it because I no longer have it. If you've ever been in a revivalistic type of a church and then watched the revival come to a screeching halt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see the vast difference in both sides. Well, I certainly don't want to weep one day and say, Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, would to God I had died for thee. I don't want to say, I wish I would have appreciated more, and I wish I would have done more, and I wish I would have been more concerned. Let me go on. For some of you, this might have something to do with your job. A person can have a job and they have a way to make money. They have a way to earn income. They've got a way to support themselves and pay the bills. But if you go out there in the world, most people are not walking around all day long appreciating the fact that they're employed and appreciate that they get a paycheck and appreciate that they have a job and appreciate they can pay their bills. Usually they notice the negatives about their job. I've watched more than one person gripe and complain and gripe and complain and gripe and complain about their job, then lose their job and say, I wish to God I had my job back. So I would recommend that we take a look at the positives that we have and the goodness that we have, and we appreciate it now. Because we could lose our health. We could lose a revival type atmosphere in our church. We could lose that good job. You could lose that mom those children or that country or that husband or that wife. And to everybody in here, the next point, listen to this. Make sure that you love your parents before you lose them. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But there are other verses that tend to be very, very important. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you obey when you live in their home, but you honor all the way to heaven. Listen, you, if your parents are still alive, you will not have them forever. You say, but my parents, they're not interested in serving God, and that's the last thing on the face of the earth they want to do. I'm not talking about your parents serving God. I'm talking about you loving them and you being expressive of that love and you trying to be good to them and decent to them, because you won't have them forever. You just won't. And I think that you ought to do everything you can to have a good relationship with them. And I realize this. I realize anytime you go to talking about families, it's a little bit of a temperamental thing, because you say, well, I've got family members and they live in the world and they hate the church, or they party and they're drunks and all of that. I understand all that, and I do not think that you ought to sacrifice your testimony in an effort to be with them when they're misbehaving. But I do think this: there has to be a way to love them. There has to be a way to appreciate what you can about them. There has to be a way to be expressive toward them. I'll just tell you, when they're gone, you'll wish you would have tried to figure out a way to love them and spend some time with them. Sometimes, maybe it's, if it's not being there physically, maybe it's the telephone call. And the only time you send them a card is on their birthday. Maybe you could figure out another time to send them a card. But I'll promise you, there are people in this room, their parents are gone now, and if they could, they would try. They would have tried to figure out, if they could go back in time, a way to get a little more time with mom or with dad, or have a conversation that was of value, or just express the love and the concern. I'll never forget what my pastor said. He said, the average person buys flowers for someone who has passed away at the funeral, because they would like to try to figure out a way to make up for the fact that they didn't love that person the way they should have. And my pastor was a pretty tough bird. He said, get it. Dead people can't smell flowers. You sending flowers to somebody's funeral doesn't make up for the fact that you might have, should have called them and loved them and been good to them. And let's not be like David and Absalom in that aspect of David saying, would to God I had died for thee, Absalom. I'll give you one more point, and then I'll be done. I just wanted to give you a concept and remind you of something. I thought, what a perfect time to teach something like this. We lost all of our electricity. And there are so many conveniences that we lost along with the fact that the electricity's out all over the county. And if we're not careful, we will live our life and have many things available to us, and just we almost expect them. We don't appreciate them when we have them. Do you have to lose something to appreciate it? I think people of character will learn to appreciate it before they lose it. I wonder this. I wonder if there are times that God lets us lose things to teach us to appreciate. I wonder if there are times when God retracts something because God is saying, you ought to be praising me for this. You ought to be thankful for this. You ought to appreciate this. One last point, point number eight. Just in general, love what you have before you lose it. You say, I've got a pickup truck. If I were you, I'd love your pickup truck before you lose it. My house might be a good idea to live where you live before you lose it. there are people all over our county that when Hurricane Florence hit, they might have griped and complained about the place where they live, but when the hurricane hit and they found themselves down at, let's see, what's the name of that place, Rhonda? Say it again. Yeah, there's a shelter where there were a couple hundred people living on bunks with sleeping bags. Don't you think that when they got put into that great big room with hundreds of people living in communal type living, don't you think they said, "Would God, I'd appreciated the place where I lived before the hurricane." Whatever it is, I promise you, there are people that complained about their clothes, but once they lost all their clothes, they said, "I wish I had those clothes back. I wish I would have appreciated those clothes, appreciated my mom, appreciated my dad, appreciated my children, appreciated my job, appreciated my things." You know something? God tells us, one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not covet." You know what that means? Want what you have. You know, if everybody just want what they have, we'd all be happy, wouldn't we? Most unhappiness comes because we don't want what we have. If I were God, this is how I'd think. If you showed me someone that didn't want what they had, I wouldn't give them anything else. You say, why? Because evidently you don't want what you have. And if I gave you something else, from your past performance, I guess you probably wouldn't want the new thing I gave you either. But if I found someone that said, "Lord, I'm satisfied. I want what I have," I'd say, you know what? I think I could reward their attitude of satisfaction with something that's increased or even better. Because if I give them something better, they're going to want that too. But in the Scripture, it was just merely said by David after he found out that Absalom was dead. It says, "And the king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son.'" I think that was David's way of saying, "Well, I wish I would have put a little more into that before I lost that. I wish I would have appreciated that before I lost that. I wish I would have loved that before I lost that. I wish I would have seen what I had before I lost what I had." And so, I think there's a concept there. I tried very hard for 18 years as I was being pastored by my mentor and hero. I tried very hard to realize what I had when I had it. I wanted to know what I had as a pastor. I really, really did. I wanted, after my pastor passed away, there was some remorse. I wish I would have tried maybe a little harder to serve him a little bit more and do a little bit more for him. But I can tell you this. Every time I watched my pastor preach, and I had seen him preach well over 5,000 times, I sat there in awe. I said, "I do not want to forget this. I do not want to forget this. I want to absorb this and appreciate what I'm getting." I think all of us need to make sure that we're paying attention to what we have and not spend so much time looking at what we don't have, so that we don't have to say, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God I had died for thee," or "Would to God I could go back and handle that differently. But now, I can't." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We will have a brief time of altar call. Think about it. Think about the different aspects of life. Job, health, husband, wife, children, parents. May I highly recommend to everybody here that you appreciate now what you have. Because I'll promise you, if it's retracted, you're going to say, "Now I see. Now I see what I had. couldn't we see what we have now? Life will be much more fulfilling if we will.